Welcome to Message for Our Age. We are glad to bring you the message to encourage your heart. This message is given by C. Stephen David. Stephen is a child of the living God, husband, father, blogger, disciple maker, and an elder of Assembly of Living Witnesses. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to the message and apply the word to your life.
We have done till now chapter 1 from verses 1 to 3, and this week we will be seeing verses 4 through 9. Let us have a very good meditation on the scripture and see what the Lord has for us. Let us look unto the Lord. Father, we thank you for this time. We ask you that you speak to our hearts, O God. We pray that you transform our lives through the preaching and the teaching of your word. And your word has power, O God, to change us. Your word has power to open our eyes to see your glory, O God. And we pray that you open our eyes, O God, that we may see wonderful things in your word. And maybe not just see wonderful things in your word. As a result of seeing your word, may our lives become wonderful, O God, for thy glory, honor, and praise. Release the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Give us attentive ears and build our lives, O God, upon your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So as I was meditating on 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 9, I was wondering whether I would make up this Sunday for teaching because I had so many other appointments, but by God's grace, I was able to take some time and prepare for this. And the title that I have given for this week is Blessings of God's Grace for Believers in Christ Jesus. Blessings of God's Grace for Believers in Christ Jesus. Shall we all read together loudly verses 4 through 9? Okay, 1, 2, 3. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, as I was thinking about this, there are three blessings that I have seen for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Three blessings. But before that, let us see what Paul says. What is Paul saying over here? He's telling that, I give thanks to my God always for you. And especially, make a note of those words, I give thanks to my God. What does it speak about? My God. You know, when it speaks about my God, it generally describes about two things. It is either speaking about your personal position, or it is speaking about some close relationship with someone. Are you understanding? For example, if I say that this is my house, what am I saying? I am the owner of this house, and this house is under my possession. If I say this is my car, what am I telling? I am the owner of this car, and this is under my possession. And if I say that this is my bike, I am telling that I am the owner of this bike, and this is under my possession. So when Paul is telling that, my God, is he telling in that way? That I am the owner of God, and God is under my possession? No, that is not what it is. I will tell you what it means. For example, if George is my teacher, and I studied under George for a couple of 3 years, and he was not so famous at the time, I studied under him, and one day George becomes an international teacher, right? Everybody knows that. Everywhere in Wikipedia, if you type George Verghes, you will come to know where he was born, how he grew up, and how he became a teacher, and everywhere people will be calling George, George, come here and teach, and all these things. And as I go to one place, and some group of people come together and they'll be talking, you know, George is coming. You know, George? George is coming to my place and he's teaching over here. And if I was a student, you know, how proudly I will tell? What do I tell? He was my teacher. You understood? When I say he is my teacher, I'm telling that I know George personally. I have been in close association with him. I know George very closely. I'm not telling that I'm his owner and he's under my position. I'm telling that I know him intimately. When Paul is telling that, I always thank my God, he is not just telling in abstract. ambiguously. Oh yes, there is a God of the heavens and the earth, and I'm telling you that, that God, I give praise to him. He's telling that, I give thanks to my God. I know this God. I am closely associated with him. I am intimate with him. And I am asking you, my dear people, as we think about this verse, is this God your God and my God? Is this Lord your God and my God? And when I'm telling my God and my Lord, I'm telling I know him personally, closely, and I am intimately associated with him. God is the God of all, but for Paul, he was closely associated. And I'm sorry to say that we know that there is God and there is Lord, but not many of us can say that this is my God and my Lord, because we know him from far and not from close, intimate relationship. And what a wonderful thing that Paul is telling. I give thanks to my God. As I was thinking about this, thanksgiving, I was learning five things about Paul's attitude in giving thanks to God. You know, first thing what he says is, I thank my God for you. For whom? For Corinthian believers. He's not thanking God for the assembly of living witnesses, because the assembly of living witnesses was in conception in the heart of God. We existed this year. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But at that time, the Corinthian church was there, and Paul was thanking God for Corinthian church. I thank God for you people. I thank God for you church, for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as I was thinking about this, I was examining my heart and examining the hearts of people. Generally, when do we give thanks to God? When we get a job, Lord, I thank you for this job. When we buy a car, Lord, I thank you for this car. When we finish our education, Lord, I thank you for this wonderful degree that I got. Generally, we are excited to thank God for earthly things. But do we have the habit of thanking God for people who are more precious than all the earthly things can come together? Just think about yourself. Do we thank God for people? Frankly speaking, I generally did not have the habit of thanking God for people. I was thanking God for things, but not for people. But here I have learned that Paul was thanking God for people. And I am encouraging you, my dear people, I'm telling you that you think about the people God has brought in your life. Do you thank God for them? Lord, I thank you for the church that you have given to us. Lord, I thank you for my wonderful family. Lord, I thank you for my friends. I thank you for these people, oh God. And secondly, I was thinking that Paul was thanking God for Corinthians in spite of their weaknesses and problems. They were not perfect people, are you understanding? They were not always nice people. But Paul was thanking God for Corinthian believers. And I'm telling you people, people don't have to be good, perfect, and always nice in order to thank God for them. And listen to this carefully. We give thanks to God not because of people's goodness, but because of God's grace upon them in spite of their weaknesses. Are you understanding? We give thanks to God not because of their goodness. Of course, we can still give thanks to God because of goodness, but in spite of their weaknesses, God's grace has showered upon people. And that's very interesting. The other thing that I was saying is, as I was examining Paul's thanksgiving and Paul's prayer, have you ever done a study on that? I encourage you people, please do a study on Paul's prayers and thanksgiving. Whenever you see that, he was always giving thanks to God and praying for the people for spiritual blessings, not for earthly things. Paul's prayer and thanksgiving is predominantly for spiritual things. You think about us. What are our prayers for? Our prayers and thanksgiving to God are predominantly for earthly things. But Paul, you don't see that. He was thanking God for the spiritual blessings showered upon the lives of the Corinthians. You know, people, one thing that I would like to show to you also as I was examining this is this. Every blessing we see in others is because of God's grace upon them. Whenever you see something good in others, whenever you see something blessing in others, or some goodness in others, or some talent in others, or gift in others, realize It is God's grace upon those people. Don't idolize them, but give thanks to God for His grace upon those people. You know what I have written is? The best way to appreciate people is by thanking God for His blessings upon them. When I see something good in Dion, I can say that, Dion, I thank God for this wonderful grace He has given you. Rather than just appreciating people, we can appreciate people by thanking God because of the grace and spiritual blessings He has showered upon people. The other thing that I was also seeing is this. Now listen carefully. This will really help us a lot. You know what is that? The best way to deal with problematic people is to thank God for them because of His grace. Now, how many of us have problems with people? All of us have, right? If you don't have a problem, maybe you are a problem to others. As somebody said that, everybody has problems and is a problem. All of us have problematic people, and we also are so grateful, we are also problematic people to others. Right? And here we see that the best way to deal with problematic people, you imagine that. Paul knows that there are sins prevailing in the church at Corinth. They were giving trouble to Paul. He was grieved because of divisions. Yet, he was thanking God for Corinthian believers and church. And I'm telling you people, the best way you can deal with interpersonal problems is by thanking God for them. And let me tell you people, let me tell you something very important. You know what happens? When you thank God for the problematic people, this sets our attitude right in how to deal with the problems of others. It is easy to look at the problems and try to address the problems. But most importantly, what is our attitude in dealing with the problems in others? Paul's attitude was Christ-like. He was thanking God, praising God. Can we thank God for people when we are bitter against them? Can we thank God for people who has beaten us? Can we thank God for people who gossips against us? Can we thank God for people who do all these things and yet when you hate them? No. You can only thank God for people in spite of their weaknesses when you love them with all your heart. You can see Paul's love for Corinthian believers. I'm telling you people, when you see problematic people and when you have problems with others, you thank God for them because it sets our heart right before God and before people. And this is what Gordon Fee said that. And I really appreciate the wonderful way he has put in. Listen to this carefully what he said. To delight in God for His working in the lives of others, even in the lives of those with whom we feel compelled to disagree, in the lives of those with whom we dislike, if we give thanks to God because of them, is sure evidence of our own awareness of being the recipients of God's mercy. Amen? He's telling that when you are thanking God for the people whom you don't like or with whom you disagree, when you are thanking God for them, that is a sure evidence that you are grateful to God for God's mercy upon you, for which you are also thankful to God for His mercy upon the people with whom you disagree and don't like it. And yet you love them because they are God's people and God's grace is upon them. What a wonderful attitude do we see before Paul dealing with these Corinthian problems. What a great Christ-like attitude do we see in the heart of Paul. And why did Paul thank God for? Why did he thank God for? What is he telling? I thank God because you are beautiful. I thank God because you are talented. That's not what he's telling. He was not elevating flesh when he was thanking God. For what he was thanking God? He was thanking God for people because of His grace upon the Corinthian believers. And people, let me tell you that. All of us know that God is gracious, right? All of us know. Do you believe that God is gracious? God is merciful. He is full of grace and mercy. But let me tell you this. Listen to this carefully. God doesn't show His grace apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He says over here, I thank God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in whom? In Christ Jesus. The mercy that we receive from God, the grace that we receive from God is only because of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you people, apart from Jesus Christ, there is no grace for mankind. There is no mercy for people. When I'm talking about this grace, I'm talking about the special grace. I'm not talking about the common grace. The common grace is for all people. That he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Right? That is a common grace. But the special grace of salvation, and along with salvation, all the spiritual blessings that come, they are available only in Jesus Christ. There is no grace of God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Just think about this. There is a famine that has come in the village. And the king says, you people, you are dying in this famine. I'll tell you one thing. Here is my palace. Come into my palace. Come into my home. And I'm giving you shelter. You come, and all of you come and eat in my palace, lest you die because of famine. Let me tell you, people, that is what exactly God has done through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the palace of God's grace, under whom we find salvation, forgiveness, restoration, and all the spiritual blessings. And apart from Jesus Christ, this palace of God, there is no salvation and spiritual blessings for mankind. And that's what the Bible says, that the grace is available only in the person Jesus Christ. And what are the blessings that God has given us? Let us see them. What blessings God has given us by his grace for those in Christ Jesus. What blessings God has given us by his grace for those in Christ Jesus. Let us see the first one. You know what is the first one? We see that every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we the church of God, all of us are blessed with every spiritual gift. Now please turn to this scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 5. What is a grace that God has given? He describes what is a grace. He says over here that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift. Do you observe the words, people? In every way you were enriched. He's telling that God has richly blessed you, abundantly blessed you, poured out his fullest blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are blessed with every gift. What is he saying? You don't lack any gift. In other words, he is telling that you are not deficient in spiritual gifts. The Corinthian church was not deficient in any spiritual gifts because God has blessed them with every spiritual gift. And that too, not just like that, abundantly, richly. And what are those two specific gifts that are mentioned over here? He says that with all kinds of speech and all kinds of knowledge. Two gifts we see over here, right? All kinds of speech and all kinds of knowledge. And when he was telling all kinds of speech, in the Greek, speech is logai. And maybe Paul was speaking about the abilities of speech. What are the abilities of speech that we can put into, if we think over 1 Corinthians 12 and 14? The abilities of speech are what? Teaching, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of speaking in tongues, encouragement. These are all abilities of speech. These are logoi. Are you understanding? God has blessed them with every spiritual gift to this church. And secondly, it says, with all kinds of knowledge, nosai. In the Greek, it is nosai. With all kinds of knowledge, abilities of knowledge. What are the abilities of knowledge? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment of spirits. These are all related to what? Knowledge. So what Paul is telling, that God has blessed you with all kinds of knowledge, with all kinds of speech, with abilities of speech, with abilities of knowledge. You have been richly blessed in every way, and you don't lack anything. The church is enriched with the spiritual gifts. That's what Paul was thanking God. And Paul was mentioning, this is the blessing you have received by God's grace in the person Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is the application from this we can learn? This is what is Paul was thanking God for Corinth, but how does this apply to us? To this assembly of living witnesses, to our believers, what is it that we can learn? The first thing is this. We are sufficiently blessed in the Lord with every spiritual gift. This assembly of living witnesses, the believers of This assembly of living witnesses are blessed with every spiritual gift. This is what we learn from the word. Shall we all say together? We are sufficiently blessed in the Lord with every spiritual gift. Now people, please make a note of the sixth verse. You know what it says? Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed among you. Did you ever think about what does it mean? People, let me tell you that. When you read the Bible, please don't just read it. You read it to understand it. Are you understanding? Many of the people read the Bible and they don't try to understand what the words is speaking about. And it took some time to understand what Paul meant when he said, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed among you. You know what is Paul saying by that? The gospel of Christ, the testimony of Christ is nothing but the gospel of Christ. Thus, in this way, in other words, what Paul is telling is, spiritual gifts are the confirmation of the gospel of Christ in us. When you receive the testimony of Christ, when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has confirmed that by blessing you and enriching you with every spiritual gift. What does it speak? This shows that every person who accepts the gospel of Christ and becomes born again is blessed with spiritual gifts. And he and she must use these gifts with other gifted saints in the church of Christ. The Bible says, people, everyone is gifted because of God's grace and blessing in our lives in Christ Jesus. And this is very important, people, that I have learned. You know what is the second application? Listen to this carefully. Listen. Very important point. When Paul was thanking God, he was not telling about individuals. Are you understanding? He was thanking God about the church. Listen carefully. These gifts are given to the entire church, not to an individual. We are complete only together. No individual has received all the gifts. No individual can say that I don't like any gift. Now think about Stephen David. I'm talking that, can I say that I don't like any gift? I can't say that because I don't have all the gifts. When Paul is telling that, I thank God for his grace upon you and you have received all the gifts, not lacking any gift, he was telling about as the community together. Because the problem with that is, we always try to apply individually. We need to be careful of that. As a community, we are complete. As an individual, we are incomplete. This speaks about the glory and the oneness of the body and the church of Jesus Christ. Shall we all say together, we are complete only together. Individually, we are incomplete. Are you understanding, people? That's the reason we need to be a part of a church. We need to be an active role and part of the community of Christ because we can live a functional Christian life and not be a deficient Christian. You know, I love what David Pryor said. He's a good commentator. And this is what he said, David Pryor. It is important immediately to point out that these statements are about the church of God at Corinth, not about individual believers. If we want to know the fullness of God's blessing, if we are to experience all the gifts of his grace which are ours in Christ, it has to be gathered in fellowship. Wow. I love these people. Listen carefully what he said. If we want to know the fullness of God's blessing, if we are to experience all the gifts of his grace which are ours in Christ, it has to be together in fellowship. No individual Christian can claim to be not lacking in any spiritual gift. Wonderful point that he has made. And what is the third one? We need to work together as a church using these gifts to build up the body of Christ. People, this church is not my church. This church doesn't belong to any man. This church belongs to God. And I'm telling you, people, we have to use all our gifts together and build up the body of Christ so that in all things God can be glorified. And God has supplied us with all gifts necessary for us as a community, so that we would use our gifts and all together work together for the expansion of the kingdom of God. You cannot be in a church and do nothing. Are you understanding? You cannot be in a church and do nothing. If you are doing nothing, you are not functioning in the will of God as a part of the fellowship. God meant for you
to function in the body of Christ, and together we can serve the Lord. That is what we learned from the first application. What is the second blessing that we can see? The second blessing is this. Wonderful. I love these people. Very encouraging as I was preparing this. You know what is the second blessing? We are blessed with God's preservation of our souls till the end. Hallelujah. Shall we all say this? We are blessed with God's preservation of our souls till the end. Where do we see? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 7 and 8. You know what he says? So that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end. Observe those words, people. He will sustain you to the end, guiltless, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. What will God do to the Corinthian believers? What is it that Paul is telling? This is what God will do to you. What is it that he will do? He's telling that he will sustain you to the end. He will keep you firm. He will keep you strong. Now, this church is a weak church, right? This church is a worldly church, carnal church. But yet, his hope is not in the church. His hope is in God, who can preserve them till the end. Amen? And he's telling that, you know, I'm sure that God will keep you strong till the end. He will keep you firm till the end. He will establish you and sustain you. And he's telling that he will preserve them from sin and the evil one, and even under trials. People, I'm not telling from trials. He will not preserve you from trials. He will sustain you under the sufferings and afflictions that are there for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will not allow you to be crushed and destroyed, but preserve you till the end. That's a wonderful blessing the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. And until what it says? It says that till the end. Till the end of the world. Till the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us may be telling, Lord, how long shall I struggle like this? God says, how long? Till the end, I am able to preserve you for my glory. Let us not be discouraged, people, because God has given us wonderful blessing that he will preserve us, our souls, till the end. And people, let me tell you that when he tells till the end, he was not speaking again individually. Shankar, individually, I will preserve you till the end. Gautam, individually, I will preserve you till the end. No, it is in the community. It is as a church, as a community, God will preserve you till the end. The community of Christ is the means that God uses to preserve you till the end. Amen? Are you understanding? Church, the community, the fellowship of the saints is the means God uses to preserve you till the end. And it is very important for us to be a part of the community so that God can protect his community together till the end. Craig Blomberg is a very good theologian. This is what he says. Listen to this carefully. It is also important to note that Paul speaks to the church collectively, not individually. In our day of so many Lone Ranger Christians, isn't it? The movie that has come recently, right? Lone Ranger. It may be perfect. People think Lone Ranger means hero. But in Christianity, he is a zero. A Lone Ranger is not a hero in Christianity. He is a zero. We have to be a part of the fellowship. He says, in our day of so many Lone Ranger Christians, even in churches, they go to church, they sit in the church, they are Lone Rangers. It is important to recall that neither here nor elsewhere does Scripture envisage Christians apart from a local church. So God is also in the process of perfecting his people corporately as well as individually. God is perfecting us, preserving us, sanctifying us, working in our lives individually as well as corporately. That is what he is telling. And what will happen as a result? It says God will preserve you till the end. Why? What will be the result? What will be the result? So that we will be guiltless on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that you and I will be blameless. Now, when you know your heart, people, I think it is very difficult to be blameless and guiltless on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are afraid that all the secret sins will come out. We cannot be guiltless. We cannot be blameless apart from the grace of God. That is a grace that has been given to you people. You and I cannot be guiltless and cannot be blameless by our own works. Are you understanding? It is not by our works. It is only by the grace of God that has been given in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what is the Greek word for this? Guiltless or blameless? The Greek word for this is anakletos. Anakletos. You see these people, what a powerful statement it is. You know what is the literal meaning of that? It is a legal word, which means one cannot be accused of any wrongdoing in a court of law. No charge can be brought against him. Wow. That is what you and I will be when God preserves our souls till the end. Maybe on the day of the judgment, the Satan will come and say, because who is Satan? He's an accuser, right? He will come and tell the Lord, you don't know what Alan has done, what secret sins I have done. But you know what God will say? He is guiltless, he is spotless, he is blameless because of my grace and because of the blood of Christ that has cleansed him from all sin. Amen? God will make us guiltless and blameless because of his grace and because of the sanctifying work of the Lord Jesus Christ. People, that's the reason I'm telling that. This is not because of our sinlessness and perfection. This is only because of the atoning work of Christ on the cross and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. Are you understanding? This is only because of the atoning sacrifice of Christ on the cross and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts that we will be guiltless. And I'm telling you people, anybody who is guilty today, God says, in the Lord Jesus Christ and because of my grace, your guilt is removed. And we, by repentance, we receive this forgiveness and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. See what J.I. Packer, the wonderful theologian of our day, says. You know what he says? The church declares guilty sinners immune, free from punishment and righteous in his sight. And listen carefully what he says. The great exchange is no legal fiction. It is not a fiction, people. It is not something God has cooked up and said that, okay, take it easy. It is no arbitrary pretense. It is not sudden kind of acting. Okay, I don't want to make you righteous, but I'm pretending that, okay, you are righteous. It is no legal fiction. It is no arbitrary pretense. No mere word game on God's part. It is a costly achievement. It is a costly achievement. It has come out of cost. The blood and the body of Jesus Christ, it has come out of that, people. It has come out of the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit because of the person Jesus Christ. There is no word game in this. It has costed the life of Jesus to make us guiltless and blameless on the day of the Lord. And you know one thing, people, it says the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you read the Old Testament, the day of the Lord is generally applied to whom? The judgment of God. If you read Isaiah, the day of the Lord, day of the Lord, the judgment of God upon people. This is another evidence of Christ's deity. When it says the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, the Lord Jesus Christ will come to judge. Who is Jesus Christ to judge if he is no God? If that Old Testament phrase, the day of the Lord, is used for the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is a clear evidence that Jesus Christ is God who will come to judge the living and the dead. And what is the application, people? Trust in God who saves us and sustains us till the end. People, you may be weak. You may be imperfect. And I may be struggling with a lot of struggles. God says, don't put your trust in yourself. Put your trust in me because I am the one who can take you till the end. You know, people, when we look at the worldly temptations today, are you afraid? Imagine the exposure that we have. I am telling you, people, when I look at the worldly temptations without, that is outside, and when I look into my sinful passions within, I get a question, can I make it till the end? When we know our weaknesses, our sinful passions, and the worldly temptations, the question comes is, can I make it till the end? Frankly tell you, I cannot, but God can. This is impossible with man, but nothing is impossible with God. God can sustain us, preserve us, keep us strong till the end. Now, this is what I'm telling you, people. Listen, this is where we miss our focus. Now, people, we have to set our focus right. Listen to this carefully. You know what it is? Just as we have looked to the cross, Christ Jesus, to save us from sin. How did we come to the Lord Jesus? Lord, I cannot save myself, O God. I cannot be saved, O God, for myself. I need your grace. Just as we have looked upon the cross, Jesus Christ, to save us from sin. This is what I'm telling you, people. This is how we need to daily look upon to God to preserve us till the end. Because many of us, the way we are serious to look upon to the grace of God and the day of salvation, we become lenient and miss the grace of God and we start focus on our works. And people, let me tell you something very important. We are saved not only by grace of God, we live every day by the grace of God. We enter into the kingdom of God by the grace of God. Are you understanding? We are not only saved by the grace of God, live every day by the grace of God, and enter into the kingdom of God only by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So daily we should look upon to God and say, Lord, I cannot go to heaven on my own. I cannot fight against sin on my own. I cannot fight against situations on my own. Lord, you are the only preserver of my soul. I trust in you, O God. You hold me and you lead me safely till the end. Only God can lead us safely till the end. Yes, we have to live holy, isn't it? Should we live holy or not? Yes, we have to live holy. We have to do good works in our Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you that our hope is not in our works, but only on the finished work of Christ on the cross. People, we live holy not to attain our salvation. We live holy because God has already called us to receive salvation. Now, some people say that since God preserves our souls till the end, since our souls are eternally secure, why can't we live a reckless life? Why can't we live the way that we want? That is what many people think about when we talk about the eternal security of believers. The preservation of God of the souls of believers till the end. Now this is what I tell. Listen to this carefully. Now, if there is a fire in the apartment, listen to this illustration, it will make sense. If there is a fire in the apartment, huge building caught on fire and people are about to die. And one man, he ties a rope from one end of the apartment which is on fire to the other building which is secure. And he wants to save his son. And he tells his son, son, this apartment is on fire. I want to save you from here. I want to take you to the safe building. You do one thing, only one thing. As I climb on the rope, of which he is an expert. He is an expert on climbing on the rope. And he says, I know to climb on the rope. I cannot fall. I am an expert. Never fell in my life. I can take you safely. The only thing that you have to do is to hold me tightly as I walk on the rope so that I can take you safe till the end. Now let me tell you people. The boy knows that the father is an expert walking on the rope. He never fell from the rope. Would he still be reckless in clinging to his father, or holds him very tightly so that the father can take him safely till the other end? Will he say that, my father is an expert, I can be casual, I can be reckless? No. He will hold him tightly as he walks on the rope and tells that my father is able to take me. Let me tell you people, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord, if you know what salvation is, what costly achievement has made God has for you, you cannot be reckless in your Christian life saying that God will preserve me till the end. If you say that, you are not really understanding who Christ is, what he has done for you on the cross, and what eternal security means. You cannot be reckless, but you will be careful, completely clinging on to the Father to take you and preserve you till the end. We need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to take us till the end. And this is a great encouragement, people, in Philippians 1:6. You know what Paul says? Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He who began the work of salvation in you, people, God will lead you to completion. He will not leave you. He will preserve you till the end. Our hope is not in us, people, only in the God of salvation, the preserver of our souls. And in this context, you know what he says? In this context, he says, God is faithful. You see, immediately he says, God is faithful. Pistos. You know what God is faithful means? God will do what he has promised. He promised you that he will keep you safe till the end. He will preserve you. He will carry you through. He is faithful in that. We have to just trust in him. People, there is, as I was preparing for this, a song came into my heart, written by John Henry Newman. And as I was singing, I wept as I was preparing for this, because I know that I cannot make it till the end. And as I was singing this song and I was sleeping in my heart, tears came into my eyes. I was thanking God, Lord, what a beautiful song is this. He wrote this song sometime between 1801 and 1890. How do I know? Because that's a period he existed, right? And this is what he wrote. Lead kindly light amid encircling gloom. I am surrounded by darkness, O God. Lead me, O God. You know, this is what I like. Keep thou my feet. I do not ask to see the distant scene. One step is enough for me, O God. Just lead me one step. Lead kindly light amid encircling gloom. Lead thou me now. The night is dark and I am far from home. Lead thou me now. Keep thou my feet. I do not ask to see the distant scene. One step enough for me. Meantime along the narrow rugged path, thyself as drawn. Lead, Savior, lead me home in childlike faith, home to my God, to rest forever after earthly strife, in the calm light of everlasting life. Do you understand the meaning of this, people? Amazing. You go and check on the internet. Listen to this 100 times. I'm telling you, it breaks your heart. This is one of my favorite songs. In times of depression and darkness, this lifts my soul like anything else, that he is the one who can lead me till the end. And what is the second application that we can learn? You know what Paul says? As you wait eagerly for the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. People, the Corinthian church was horrible, but one good thing about the church is they were eagerly waiting for the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Eagerly waiting. Literally, it is apocalypse, that is revelation, the coming, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. In ESV, it just says wait. If you see the scripture, it says, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. But actually, in the Greek, it is a very strong word. You know what is in the Greek? Apekdekomai. The word apekdekomai means intensified expectation. It's a strong expectation, eager expectation of Christ's return. Now see what different translation says over here. NASB, Dion's favorite version. Awaiting eagerly the revelation of Lord Jesus Christ. And NIV, something good in that, better than ESV now. As you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. NKJV, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. People, do you know what it says? The Corinthian believers were eagerly waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what is the biggest problem with the modern day Christians? You think of our hearts. We have missed the eager expectation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we at least remember, Lord, you may come today, at least one day? When was the last time you thought about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? The modern day believers have lost that eager expectation that the Lord Jesus is coming soon, and we have to eagerly await his coming. And people, the Lord is reminding us this morning, if you have really lost that sense of urgency and expectation, eager desire that the Lord is coming soon, wake up. Wake up. Don't be engrossed in the material comforts. This is the biggest problem we have. The problem is the material comforts and the earthly problems. These two things in which we are engrossed and we have lost that the Christ is coming soon and we should wake up. People, the pleasure that we have in this world, the pain that we have in this world is not permanent. Whether pain or pleasure, whether comfort or crisis, whatever it is, it will perish someday. Only what we receive in the Lord Jesus Christ will be preserved till the end. And God reminds us that we sanctify ourselves by our eager expectation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is calling us to be awakened and eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ, or else, because this is how God preserves us, people, how God preserves us in the community. God preserves us as we eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to do your part also, clinging tightly to the expectation, clinging tightly to the Lord, in whom we can trust to take us till the end. Let us see the final one, the final blessing, what it says in Scripture 8 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in 8 and 9, what does it say? You know what is a blessing, people? Many of us don't think this is a blessing of the Lord. We take it very easy. You know what is a blessing? We are blessed with the fellowship of Christ Jesus our Lord. If I tell you that the President of United States of America is having 1 hour appointment with you, how do you feel? Whew! President of America spending time with me, giving his time of fellowship. He may not give you a single part of America, but just spending time with you, you will feel great. Let me tell you people, this Obama, this Chandra Babu Naidu, and this president and prime ministers and chief ministers are nothing compared to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And his fellowship has been given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the scripture says. What does it say in scripture 8 and 9? He will keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son Jesus Christ our Lord. For what did God call Corinthians? What does it say? God has called you, Corinthians, you believers, to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, not to make petitions. You understood? He didn't say that God has called you to make petitions to Jesus Christ, and you will make petitions. Lord, I want my business to prosper. I want a good job. I want a good boy and a girl. I want my business to settle. I want to earn a lot of money. I want to settle in my life. This is not for which God has called you for. This will come anyway. God has called you and me for fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you call fellowship means? Fellowship is a love relationship, not a business transaction. Fellowship is a love relationship. In the Greek, it is koinonia, which means intimacy. God has called us to have intimacy, close relationship, and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the maker of the heavens and the earth. What a great blessing God has given us in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. People, let me tell you that. Call to salvation is call to relationship with God. Are you understanding? Many people think call to salvation is different. When God calls you to salvation, he's telling, I'm calling you to my fellowship. Now, this is what I will explain to you later. But let me tell you that Christian life is not a life of rituals. It is a life about relationship with Jesus Christ. It is not about rituals, people. Just, you know, doing some ritualistic things. As you see that, you see in other religions actually. If you see Islam and if you see Hinduism, it is all about rituals. They don't have any close intimacy with God. But Christianity is not a religion of rituals. It is a relationship that you can have with the living God. And that is what the Bible says, that God has called you to fellowship. God has called you to relationship, not to rituals. Christian life is not about activities. It is about intimacy with Jesus Christ. It is very easy for us to be lost in activities, and I know that very well. But God has called us to have relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, people, one thing. I love what John Piper said. John Piper wrote a very wonderful book. You know what he said? He said, the title of the book is, God is the Gospel. God is the Gospel. I will tell you later. What is application, people? Now listen, what we can learn? When God has called us to fellowship with Jesus Christ, what do we learn? Listen to this carefully. Focus on our daily fellowship with Jesus Christ. People, when we get up, the very first thing is not to go to toilet or brush up and all those things. Of course, when you get it, you have to go. You can't stop it, okay? But still, you can fellowship with the Lord in the toilet. That's a great blessing also. Anywhere. God is not confined to space and time. You can relate to Him anywhere. The very first thing that we have to think about is to have a daily fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. People, let me ask you one question. What is our life's purpose? What is our life's purpose? What does Colossians 1:16 say? All things have been created by God and for God. Jesus Christ has created all things. Be it a Hindu or a Muslim or an atheist or a Christian, no matter whosoever he may be or she may be, God has created all people for himself. That is the purpose of life. Now let me ask you, what is sin? Sin is separation from the purpose for which God has created you. And what is the purpose? Relationship, intimacy with God, to be in fellowship with Him, to take delight in Him and satisfy yourself in Him. What is sin? Separation from God. Separation from purpose, from relationship. That is what sin is, people. Don't think sin is, you know, adultery, sin is lying, sin is deception. Of course, that is sin. But what is the result of it? Separation from God. What is salvation? Reconciliation with God. This is what salvation is. This is the purpose. Because of sin, we have been separated from God. And because of Christ Jesus, who died for us on the cross, shedding His blood, offering His body as a sacrifice, through Him, we can again have fellowship with Him and take delight in Him. Hallelujah. People, this is what salvation is. This is what salvation is. And listen to this, I'm making a very powerful statement. The statement I'm making is very powerful, is because of the person Jesus Christ, not because of the words. The greatest gift of salvation, listen, the greatest gift of salvation is not forgiveness of sin, is not heaven, is not eternal life, is not peace and joy. The greatest gift of salvation is Jesus Christ Himself. Shall we all say this together? The greatest gift of salvation is not forgiveness of sin. It is not heaven. It is not eternal life. It is not peace. It is not joy. The greatest gift of salvation is Jesus Christ Himself. That is the gospel of God. God is the gospel, people. The gospel of God is that God is the gospel. That He is giving Himself for us for our enjoyment. That is the gospel of Christ. Many people think, you know, believing in Christ means I have to go to church. Maybe I have to change my dress. I have to stop worshiping idols and all these things. That is all secondary. The most important thing is fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have that fellowship, people, you are not saved. If you have not come to a recognition that I have to start having fellowship with Christ because of the grace that has been given to me, you are not yet truly understood what salvation is all about. It is about relationship, not about activities. And secondly, you know, finally, the application is focus on our eternal fellowship with Jesus Christ. It is not just our daily fellowship, people. It is also about our eternal fellowship with Jesus Christ. Because you know what? On the day when Christ comes, here we don't see His face. Many people say, you know, one reason why I don't like praying, you know why? Because when I pray, I don't see anyone. When I pray, I don't hear anyone. I really miss that. That's the reason I don't feel very excited to pray. But let me tell you, people, the time is coming when we see our Lord Jesus, who died for us on the cross, face to face. We will have supper with Him. We will talk with Him. And you know, maybe you and I will go and hug Him and kiss Him and fall at His feet and worship Him, because we are seeing Him for the first time in our life. Are we waiting for that day, people? Or are you lost in your studies? Are you lost in your career? Are you lost in your earning money? Lost in the internet? Lost in all these things? People, wake up. That is not our life. Our future is Jesus Christ. Our future is Jesus Christ. And people see the context in which it is said God is faithful. Now, I'm telling you, open your eyes and observe the scripture carefully. You know what it says? God has given the grace, every spiritual gift, okay? As you wait eagerly for the Lord Jesus Christ, he will preserve you till the end. That's what it says. Immediately, you know what it says? God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what it means? In other words, this is what he's telling. God is faithful in doing this. What? He is faithful in keeping you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he has called you into fellowship with his son Jesus Christ, our Lord. In other words, the reason God saves you till the end is so that we would have eternal fellowship with his son Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That is the reason he is saving us. That is the reason he is preserving us. Not that he is only thinking about you going to heaven. That is not what God is thinking about. He is thinking about you enjoying fellowship with Christ in the kingdom of God. In heaven, there is no heaven without Jesus Christ, people. You know what is hell? Hell is not about eternal fire. That is not the primary thing. Hell is an eternal presence of the absence of God. That is what hell is. You forget about burning, hell, fire, worms will not die, fire will not quench. This is all secondary. The first and the foremost thing is hell is the eternal presence of the absence of God. And what is heaven? Heaven is the eternal presence of the presence of God. That is heaven for us. It is for that fellowship, people, God is preserving you and me. Where is our focus? Where is your focus? Where is my focus? You see the focus of Paul, what he says? You see Paul's focus on eternal fellowship. You know what it says in Philippians 1, 21 to 24? Listen carefully what it says. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Who wants to die? Paul is telling, I want to die. If Stephen David wants to die, you know why he wants to die? Because he wants to escape from troubles. Lord, I don't want this troubles, oh God. Lord, I don't want this pain on this world, oh God. He was desiring death, not that there will be an end to the pain. He was desiring death so that he would have a deepening fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Today's Christians are very selfish. We want to die. Not that we would have a deepening fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because we want to put an end to the pain that is there in the world. A true lover of Christ will not do that, people. Paul was a true lover of Christ. He's telling, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. You know, people, hard pressed means, it is a very strong word. I am torn apart. My body is ripped apart, he's telling. Between what? My desire is to depart and to be with Christ. For that is far better. Was he not with Christ on the earth? Was he not walking with God? Yes. But it is far different from what we are going to have in the kingdom of heaven. That face to face, eternal, lively, you know, close relationship which we are missing now. Bible says wait for that day. You look for the day and you will enjoy that. And Paul was eternally focusing on God. I want that eternal fellowship. People, where is our focus? Many of us are focusing on our security in the future. Just, even if it is in the future, that is just my career or what will happen later, all these things. But Paul, you see that his focus was on eternal fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. For this, God has called us. And this is the application, people. Finally, summary. What is that? Blessings of God's grace for believers in Christ Jesus. What is that? The scripture says, I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What are the three things that we have seen? We are blessed with every spiritual gift. Second, we are blessed with God's protection of our souls till the end. Third, we are blessed with the fellowship of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And let me remind you, people, all these blessings are by God's grace alone. We don't earn them. We don't deserve them. Are you understanding? We don't deserve any of these things. We don't earn them. We simply receive them as gifts because of God's grace manifested in Christ Jesus,
our Lord.
Let's stand together and pray. Shall we thank God for the wonderful blessings He has given us in Christ Jesus? I don't know whether you have ever thanked God for spiritual gift He has given to the church. I don't know whether we have all thanked God. Lord, thank you for the hope that you are able to preserve me till the end. And for the loving eternal fellowship you have given me. This is a time, people, let us just lift up our hands. This is not just a message. This is God speaking to us. God speaking to us through His word, encouraging our hearts. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart, my dear child. Don't lose heart, my sister and brother. Be it in sin, be it in pain. Don't lose heart. Look beyond these things. We have wonderful blessings of God's grace in Christ Jesus. Lord, as a church, we thank you, Lord, for these wonderful blessings because of your grace given us in Christ Jesus. We as a church, thank you, Lord, for every spiritual gift. Together we are complete, O God. Individually we are incomplete. Thank you for bringing us together and making us your family, brothers and sisters. And we have to grow more, O God, in our love for each other. And together we have to serve you and glorify your name. That is the mission that you have given to our church, O God. Thank you, Lord, for the preservation of our souls. Everywhere there are temptations, O God. There is so many struggles, O God. Family problems, work problems, neighbor problems. O God, temptations everywhere, passions, sinful passions within us. O Lord, what is hope that we have? We cannot make it till the end, O God. Our hope is in you. If not for you, we have no hope, O God, that we can make it till the end. It is impossible for us, O God, to guard our souls. Our hope is in the anchor of our soul, who is Jesus Christ. You preserve us, O God, till the end. You encourage our hearts, O God. You lift up our souls, O God. Lead kindly light amidst encircling gloom. Lead us, O God, to the home from which we are far away, O God, at this time. We want to come to home, O Lord. We are not in this home. Lord, we want to come to your home. We want to be in that eternal fellowship with Jesus Christ, who made us for himself. And because of sin, we are separated. But thanks be to you that through your Son, Jesus Christ, you paid for our sin so that we can again walk with you. You are the greatest gift of salvation, O God, for which we are thankful. Lord, we are thankful to you, not primarily because of heaven, not primarily because of peace and joy, not because of blessings, be it spiritual or earthly. Lord, we are thankful to you for yourself, O God. There is no other greater treasure than you. There is no other greater gift than you. There is no other greater salvation, O God, than to have Christ in our lives, the hope of salvation, the eternal glory, the greatest satisfier and preserver of our souls, O God. Oh, we're thankful to you, O God. Lord, help us to have our focus on our daily fellowship with you. Not be engrossed in material comforts. Not be immersed in earthly problems, O God. Lift up our eyes unto you. Where shall I look unto you, O God? Lord, my eyes look unto you, the maker of heaven and the earth, O God. My eyes lift up to the hills, to heaven, the maker of heaven and earth. Thank you for calling us to this fellowship. And you are waiting for us, O God. My son, my daughter, God is telling, I am waiting for you to come to my home. Waiting for you to come to my home. Don't lose heart. Fight the good fight of faith. And keep going in your faith. Thank you, Lord, for this message and encouragement all to Corinthians. Thank you for speaking to us through this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message. We believe you have been greatly encouraged in your heart. Stephen David also writes articles that are relevant to today's generation. You may read them on his blog, www.messageforourage.blogspot.com. I repeat, www.messageforourage.blogspot.com. You may also email him at cstephendavid@gmail.com. I repeat, cstephendavid@gmail.com. Grace and peace be to you.